Public News Service Daily Newscast for Tuesday, August 7, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Gates flips and testified he committed crimes with Paul Manafort. Also on the Monday rundown, reports from two states on primary election day, and kids in car deaths some parents deny it can happen to them. Now our top story, testimony from the man who helped President Trump's campaign manager Paul Manafort set up a group of shell companies. Those companies, the feds claim, were used to launder millions of dollars earned working for foreign leaders. The Daily News reports he testified Monday he hid the money for the IRS at the direction of his former boss. The testimony came from Rick Gates, Manafort's former protege and once the president's deputy campaign chair. The news says the feds charged Manafort, with Gates' help, set up a dozen dummy companies in Cyprus, St. Vincent, the Grenadines, and the Seychelles Islands, and disguised payments to look like loans in order to avoid paying income tax. It is primary election day in some states. Suzanne Potter reports groups in Michigan on all sides of the political spectrum are urging all eligible voters to put in their 2 cents.
Michigan voters head to the polls today for a midterm election that will decide each party's candidate for governor, senator, member of Congress, state senator and representative, plus county and township races. Michigan has almost 7.4 million registered voters, but in the last primary in 2014, only 17.4% of them actually cast a ballot. Randy Block, director of the Michigan Unitarian Universalist Social Justice Network, says primaries are extremely important, especially now.
Sometimes with gerrymandering in particular, it's really important to vote in the primaries, because often those are the votes that determine who will ultimately be the winner in the general election.
Many groups are offering rides to the polls, including Southeast Michigan Jobs with Justice. You can find your polling place on the Secretary of State's website. I'm Suzanne Potter.
Michigan law requires voters to either show ID at the polls or sign a brief affidavit that they don't have one. Meantime, Mary Sherman reports a special election today in Ohio is drawing national attention, as some experts say it's a bellwether for President Trump.
Voters will choose between Republican Troy Balderson or Democrat Danny O'Connor for the 12th congressional district seat, left vacant by Republican Pat Tiberi. An assistant professor of political science at the University of Dayton, Christopher Devine, explains the Columbus area district has traditionally been Republican-held and was won by President Trump in 2016.
This is one where Republicans should win. If, however, a Democrat were to win the race instead, it would be seen as an indication that Democrats are particularly strong this year, that there is a backlash against President Trump, such that they might take at least the House in the November midterms.
Democrats need to win 23 seats in the November midterms to regain control of the House. This story was produced in association with Media in the Public Interest and funded in part by the George Gunn Foundation.
Voters will be filling the interim seat today and will vote again in November to fill the seat for the next 2-year term. In Connecticut, low-income people who are HIV positive can now get their medication delivered to their door free of charge.
The Community Renewal Team, based in Hartford, has joined with a pharmacy to launch a new program that can help those who may have trouble getting to the drugstore to fill their prescriptions. According to CRT Vice President Heidi Lubetkin, the program will help those with incomes less than 300% of the federal poverty level maintain their health by sending prescription medications through the mail directly to those who need them.
By having a delivery service, the pharmaceuticals can get right to that person's home, apartment, or wherever they're dwelling. They don't have to figure out how they're going to get a bus pass, get onto transportation, go to the pharmacy, and those kinds of things.
The service is available to those who participate in CRT's Ryan White program and have either Medicare or private insurance. More information is available at www.crtct.org. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
And Texas Dreamers, young people brought to the U.S. when they were small children, bracing for the next legal hurdle facing the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, also known as DACA. And finally, Stephanie Carson tells us temperatures will drop to 90 degrees in much of Arkansas this week, and with that comes the concern of children being left in cars.
Last year, 43 children died of heat stroke after being left in a hot car, including an Arkansas child who was left in a daycare van. This month, Cars for Kids, a car donation nonprofit, released the results of a survey that found only 16% of parents surveyed think they might forget and leave their child in a hot car. Ari Finkelstein with the organization says incidences are higher in our region.
We believe it does happen more often in southern states. They think it happens to bad parents, to irresponsible, neglectful parents. They think that a lot of these parents are doing it intentionally, and they just don't think that such a thing could happen to themselves.
Forgotten baby syndrome describes the ability for a person to unintentionally leave a child confined in a car. And scientists say it's possible because our brains go on autopilot with routine activities such as driving to and from work. Numerous smartphone apps are available that create an alert for parents to check their back seat before exiting their car. Finkelstein says only 15% of parents take precautions, but adds that you don't have to invest in technology for an extra measure of protection.
The Centers for Disease Control says temperatures inside a car can rise almost 20 degrees Fahrenheit within the first 10 minutes, even with the window cracked open. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.